Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
We're going to start off in the book of Ezekiel. I know it's one of those books that we don't normally get to. It is one of the major prophets in the Old Testament, and we're in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, and it says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." I will read that again. "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender and responsive heart." A tender and responsive heart. So Ezekiel, he was a prophet, and he spoke these words to the children of Israel while they were in exile in Babylon. And the reason that they were in exile in Babylon, the Babylonian emperor, he came in, Nebuchadnezzar, we're familiar with him from the book of Daniel. He came in and he raided Israel, raided Jerusalem, and took captives back to Babylon. And God allowed this to happen because the Israelites' hearts had become unresponsive to him, and they were committing adultery on him by worshiping other gods, worshiping idols. But even in the midst of this, God raised up prophets like Ezekiel, like Daniel, like Jeremiah to bring correction to the children of Israel, but to also offer hope that if you repent, I will give you a new heart that is tender and responsive to me. So a few weeks ago, we started this new sermon series, A Healthy Heart. Pastor Joshua kicked it off last week. As Kenny said, Pastor Pete continued with ways to maintain a healthy heart. But today we're going to talk about a new heart. So a lot of you know, but for those that don't know, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to a Christian school. I got saved at the age of 8. After chapel one day, we had a fire and brimstone message. I won't give you that. And I was scared. And during recess, I could only think about going to hell. So I sought out my second grade teacher, Mrs. Staley, and I said, "Ma'am, I don't want to go to hell. What must I do?" I didn't say, "What must I do to be saved?" What must I do not to go to hell? And she explained it to me and led me in the sinner's prayer. And so I've been saved since I was 8. Going to that Christian school from K-3 through 12th grade, growing up in a very strict Christian home. My mother did not allow us to listen to any secular music, watch any secular TV. Quick story about that. So, of course, you know, as a young teenager, I would sneak and listen to secular music. And my mother's favorite pastor at the time was Jimmy Swaggart. And she would record on her, with her little cassette player, she would record his sermons onto these cassettes. And I would take those cassettes and I would record from the radio secular music over the Jimmy Swaggart sermons. But I would keep those to myself. They would just like kind of disappear and she wouldn't be able to find them. And I wouldn't say. And so one day she put in this cassette to listen to Jimmy Swaggart, and out came reggae music. And she said, "Oh my goodness, how did this happen? Did I do this?" "Yeah, you must have did that. I don't know how that happened. Lord, forgive me." So I say all of that to say that by the time I got to college, I went to college in West Palm Beach, Florida. Why did I say Florida? Y'all know where West Palm Beach is. In West Palm Beach, I went to college, so I'm out of my parents' house, I'm on my own, and I decided that I'm not going to church. I've had enough church for a lifetime, maybe multiple lifetimes. I'm not going to church, I'm not reading my Bible, I'm not praying, I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm just going to do me, okay? I was not in the streets. I would like to tell y'all I was in the streets, but I was not made for the streets. I tried the streets sent me back. That was not for me. But I was not seeking first the kingdom of God. So I graduated from college to move here to South Florida, well, Miami. I moved to Miami, and my best friend, with my best friend and my sister, and my best friend, she was looking for a church. I said, you can go ahead and look for a church. I'm not looking for a church, okay? And so she, her pastor recommended, her pastor from the Bahamas, Dr. Miles Monroe, recommended that she go to Jesus People. And so she said, come with me to Jesus People. I said, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to. But she nagged me. And so I went, and we went. It was, I guess they were having a conference or something, because it was during the week. And it was a popular prophetess that was speaking on that particular evening. And even though I had been not been in church, I could recognize when the presence of God was in a place. And her sermon was on a new heart. I can't remember what she said exactly. I can't remember any of those exact words that she shared. She even gave me a prophetic word. That's before I learned to record it, because I don't remember what she said either. However, as I was sitting in my seat and she was speaking, Holy Spirit began to minister to me and began to talk to me. And I became convicted. I started to think about the fact that I had come to Christ at 8 and now I was 22 at the time. And so that was 14 years that had gone by, and there was no transformation in my life. That I was the same, basically. I looked like everybody else. And I felt like it was such a waste of time to call myself a Christian and not really look like a Christian. So before an altar call, an invitation to an altar was made right in my seat, I repented and I asked God to give me a new heart. And God took me on what I like to call, Pastor Joshua mentioned, I think you mentioned a scripture, Matthew 6:33. So I like to call this my Matthew 6:33 journey. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? So this was my journey of seeking first the kingdom of God. So I started to seek God, because in that moment when I was sitting in that chair, in that service, I felt like God was performing heart surgery. And he took out my old heart that had become unresponsive to him, had become complicit and non-responsive to him. And I felt like he took that out and he gave me a new heart. Then he took me on a journey of cultivating that new heart and transforming me from the inside out. So for me, during that period of time when I made this rededication to God, it was a very difficult season in my life. I shared this before. I didn't have a job. So I didn't have money. I didn't have a lot of stuff. So I didn't have a job, didn't have money, didn't have a car, didn't have TV, no cable. No, we had a TV, no cable. So guess what that meant? I had no distractions. So it was just me, God, my Bible, prayer, and TBN. I watched TBN 24/7. And that really, I'm so grateful, even though it was a difficult season in my life, I'm so grateful for that season, because it built a foundation for me, right? And so I wouldn't change that, even though there were days where I would just cry out to God because I didn't understand. I'm grateful that I had to go through that season, because it helped me to become who I am today. And recently I moved back into the area close by to where I lived at that time. And I had walked to the grocery store, and as I'm walking back from, this is a few months ago, I'm walking back from the grocery store, and the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks. And it felt like, you know, like you get like a deja vu, like I was here before, well, I was there before, because it was during that time as well that God, Holy Spirit led me through my best friend to a church called, a place called Hope, which is now Hope United. And it was in the same plaza where this grocery store is. And Holy Spirit stopped me in the grocery store, and I'm standing there like, this feels familiar. And Holy Spirit reminded me that it was in this parking lot where I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Going in to a Bible study at a place called Hope, and they asked who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and everybody raised their hand, and I did not. received the evidence of speaking in tongues. And after they tarried for a little while, they was like, "Will you go home?" So I was walking home in this parking lot, and Holy Spirit fell in the parking lot, and I began to speak in tongues, and I was so excited about it. But thinking back on that time and the transformation that started with a new heart, I never would have imagined that the girl who walked into a Bible study and couldn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because of doubt and fear and insecurities would be the same woman who is standing before you today. That is the transformative power of the Holy Spirit when he places a new heart in you and you do the work. There is work that is required, like he gives it to you, but there is work that is required of you to cultivate and preserve the new heart that he has given you. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "As Saul turned and started to leave, God gave him a new heart, and all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day." Now, this happened when the prophet Samuel goes to Saul, who later becomes King Saul. And God, the Bible says right here that God gave Saul a new heart. So he's received a new heart from God. So I'm going to assume that it's a heart that is responsive, that is tender. That's what was said in Ezekiel, right? That it was pure and it was righteous and it was holy, right? But when I look at Saul's life, I see that somehow Saul's new heart, something happened to it. And it became hardened by pride, disobedience, and reliance on self. Last week in Pastor Pete's sermon, he said that there were four things that we could do to maintain a healthy heart, right? And one of those things was rejecting self-reliance, and another was acknowledging God in all we do. And so we see Saul, who began to get a big head, and he began to rely on himself. And he didn't bring God in, acknowledge God in every situation. We see Saul, when Samuel gave him a word to go and destroy the Amalekites. He said, "Utterly destroy the Amalekites, kill everybody, women, children, animals, everything has to die because they were accursed." And Saul decided that he was not going to kill King Agag and he was not going to kill the animals. He's going to do what he wanted to do. And Samuel came to the battlefield, and he said, "Why do I hear the bleating of sheep?" And Saul said, "Oh, we save the sheep because we want to sacrifice it to the Lord." But that's not what God said to do. Did you ask God about that? Because he would have said, "That's not what I told you to do." And so at that moment, God's anointing left Saul. So we see Saul transform from someone who God had to move his anointing from because of the things that came into his heart, like pride, disobedience, and unforgiveness. And we see on multiple occasions, because of these things that were in his heart, like jealousy, he tried to kill David on multiple occasions. He even tried to kill his own son. That's a heart issue. When Saul had a new heart, and he was listening to God and being responsive to God, he had banned all of the witches in Israel. Witches were not allowed. And when his heart had become corrupted by these things, he himself went out to seek a witch to get a word from. Like, what are you doing? Did you pray about that? I don't think God told you to go to no witch. So things like pride, disobedience, unforgiveness, and fear harden our hearts and makes it impossible for God to dwell in our hearts because there's no room. It's crowded with this other stuff. So because love can't live where fear is, and humility can't live where pride is, and obedience and disobedience cannot live in the same place. They can't reside. There's no space, right? So Psalms 139, 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path to everlasting life." Right? search my heart. This is what we should be asking God regularly. Search my heart and know, and search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out if there is anything in me that offends you. The King James Version says if there is any wicked thing in me. Right? So the other day, I think I shared this with Tiffany. The other day, not like the other day, but like a while ago, I was in worship in my room and I was singing Refiner. And I'm like, the lyrics say tried by fire. I said, do I really want to be tried by fire? I don't know if I want to be tried by fire, but the next line says, purify me. So to be purified, you have to be tried by fire, right? And God says, the word of God says, who can ascend into the hills of the Lord and who can stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. To be in God's presence, we have to have a pure heart. And to have a pure heart, it has to be refined by the refiner's fire. And so that really sent me on a YouTube rabbit hole on refining and the refiner's fire. And that when you put gold through the refiner's fire, it comes out more valuable than when it went. It doesn't have the value that it has until it goes through the refiner's fire and all the impurities are removed. Also, for it to be forged into whatever it is, if it's a ring, if it's a pendant, whatever it is, it also has to be refined. It has to go through fire. So the same thing with us. For our hearts to be purified, we have to go through the refiner's fire, and it will be uncomfortable. It will be uncomfortable, and also it allows God to shape and mold us into what he intends for us to be. So we can't be afraid to say, sometimes we're afraid to say, pray that prayer and say, search my heart, God, show me the ugliness inside my heart, because we don't want to see it, because we don't want to deal with it. But the only way that it can be purified is if we allow God to point it out and then get rid of it. And sometimes also the things that are in our heart, because it's been there so long, it feels like it's a part of us. But it's not. That's a lie. And you don't really know what you would be without the feelings that you have. But they're not from God. Or we feel entitled to it, like unforgiveness. Well, he offended me or she offended me and they did not apologize. And so I am not forgiving them. And the only person you're hurting is yourself. So when we ask God to search our hearts and he points out the things that offends him, this gives us an opportunity to, Pastor Joshua talked about this, to exchange, to do an exchange. So where he's taking out our stony, unresponsive hearts and he's giving us a tender heart that is responsive to him and makes room to him, and makes room for him. And our new hearts reflect the character of God. Our new hearts reflect the character of God. And our Hope group, we did a very long study on, longer than I intended, on the fruit of the Spirit. And from that study, I've concluded that the fruit of the Spirit really shows the character of God, right? So what is the character of God that can be summed up in the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is what should be in our hearts. If it's not any compassion, it's not on there. Compassion should be in our hearts. Gratitude should be in our hearts. Generosity should be in our hearts, because that is the character of God. We don't see God is not an unforgiving God. He's not prideful. He's not selfish. If we have any of that stuff in our hearts, he does not feel hurt or rejection. He doesn't harbor those things in his heart. So we should not harbor. He gives us a new heart, so we should not harbor those things in our hearts. So in our new hearts is the fruit of the Spirit, which we have to cultivate every single day. Like, we have the fruit of the Spirit, right? Because we have Holy Spirit. So we have them, but are they showing up in the world? For them to show up on the outside, we have to cultivate them on a daily basis. And one way that we can cultivate our new heart is with the word. Psalms 119:11 says, Thy word I have hidden in my heart so I might not sin against thee. Your word I hide it in my heart. How do I hide God's word in my heart? We hide God's words in our hearts by meditating on it. Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law, the word of God, always on your lips, meditating on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So you have to meditate on the word, find scriptures about the character of God, and begin to meditate on them. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Perfect peace. I have God's perfect peace. Love is patient. Love is kind. Begin to memorize those scriptures that deal with the character of God and have them on replay on your mind. I saw a reel on Instagram yesterday talking about neuroplasticity. What neuroplasticity is when, because of repetition, your brain begins to rewire itself. So we talk about, you know, creating good habits. So that is what your brain is doing when it's creating good habits, right? And so the lady was talking about if you're around somebody and then you start to do or say or act like them because you're always around them, and so your brain is starts to mirror what they're doing. So I noticed that with myself. I got hooked recently on Nollywood movies, the Nigerian movies. And I found myself speaking with a Nigerian accent. What are you doing? And it became so easy. They don't say answer the phone. They say pick the phone. You didn't pick the phone. Like I started speaking like that. Like what? How? And so it is because of the constant repetition of me watching it over and over again. And they're different movies, but it's similar things in them. And so I just began to pick it up. So what if we do that with the Word of God? And just rehearse it over and over again until it becomes a part of us. And we just start to speak it without even thinking about it. And that's why it's so important to memorize scripture and hide it in your heart, so that when the enemy comes with something that is not a part of the character of God, we can do like Jesus said and say, it is written. That's not in the Word of God. So if we don't cultivate our new heart by hiding the Word of God in it and meditating on the Word, we run the risk of becoming like Saul, who had corrupted his heart, right? And we know that Saul had a corrupted heart because of his actions. So I just want to remind you, I should have done this up top, that the heart and soul in the Bible are synonymous. It's the same thing. They're interchangeable. Sometimes it says heart, sometimes it says soul. And the heart or soul is your will, your mind, and your emotions. So that's what we're talking about when he gives us a new heart. It has to do with our mind and our emotions, our thoughts. And so we see in 1 Samuel 16, that it says that an evil spirit came to Saul to torment him. And in the NLT, it says that this evil spirit fills Saul with depression and fear. So we know that it's in the soulish realm, right? That's in his mind, this fear and this depression, that if he had cultivated the new heart that God had given him, he would not have fallen susceptible to this attack from the enemy. So I want to encourage you to do what Psalms 139 says, which is to pray to God and says, search my heart. Show me if there is anything in my heart that is offending you. If there's anything in my heart that is preventing me from drawing close to you, from being responsive to you. If there's anything in my heart that is preventing me from walking in the destiny, the purpose, the call, the anointing. If it's fear in your heart and Holy Spirit is telling you, go and speak to Minister Bill. Go and get Elder Bill. Go and give him a word. And you have fear in your heart that's going to prevent you from going and speaking to him. If you have fear of man, what is he going to say about me? Or if you have lack of confidence, I don't know what to say. That's not from God. It's preventing you from being who God has called you to be. So I encourage you, ask God, show me those things in my heart, and then release them to him, give them to him, and let him fill your heart, fill you with his new heart and his character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that will help us to continue to have a tender heart that is responsive to God. And some of us, we don't even have to pray that prayer. We don't even need to say, search my heart. Because we already know the issues of our heart. We already know what's in there that we need to release to God. And he's just waiting for us to say, here, take it. Take the hurt. Take the pain. Take the rejection. Take the unforgiveness. Take the lack of confidence. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to carry this anymore. I want you to fill me up with your love. Fill me up with your peace. Fill me up with your joy. I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of it. Give me your peace that surpasses your understanding. Give me your joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you have anything in your heart that you want to give to God this morning, I invite you to bring it to the altar and symbolically lay it down at Jesus' feet so that he can do heart surgery on you this morning and give you a new heart and fill it with his character, with his love, with his joy, with his peace. I invite you to come. He doesn't want you to carry those things. He wants you to be free. The word of God says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He does not want us to be shackled down with these things when he offers us freedom in them. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to come into your house, Heavenly Father, Lord God, to lay down the things that are burdening us, Lord God, the things that are holding us in place, Heavenly Father, Lord God, the things, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that cause us to doubt, that cause us to waver, Lord God, in our faith, Lord God. We come, Lord God, against unbelief, Lord God. You've not given us that. That does not come from you. We come against fear, Lord God. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind, Lord God. I speak sound minds, Lord God, over your people right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come, Lord God, against depression, Heavenly Father, Lord God. We come against unforgiveness, Heavenly Father, Lord God. We come, Lord God, against things, Lord God, that causes our minds to stray, Heavenly Father, from you. We come against those things, Heavenly Father, Lord God. I decree and declare over your people that each of us have the mind of Christ Jesus. If there's anybody in here who does not know Jesus, that has not had that experience of receiving him into your heart, I invite you to say this prayer. I invite all of us to say this prayer. We don't want anybody to leave not encountering Jesus, not encountering salvation. So you can repeat after me. Father God, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you will do in our lives. We repent of our sins, our shortcomings, and we lay our lives down before you. We confess you as Savior, King, and Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.